John Batchel with my colleague, Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. Nearly 3 years, Mary, the Biden administration has rationed weaponry and commitment and money to Kyiv to defend itself from the Russian aggression. Mr. Biden leaves office with no clarity whatsoever. Mr. Trump is talking about meeting with Mr. Putin, or Mr. Putin's talking about meeting with Mr. Trump. It depends on what I remember of the latest reporting. None of this is fact yet, but there is a sense that the Ukraine war has exhausted Europe, exhausted Russia, exhausted the U.S., and needs to have some finish. What do you measure that Mr. Biden is leaving Mr. Trump, and what do you measure Mr. Trump can do about it?
Well, he leaves a war in progress, a war that could have been, I think, won much earlier on the Ukrainian side had the Biden team supported Kyiv. And that was not their instinct. Remember, the first offer was to give Zelensky a ride out of town and to cave, essentially, to appease Putin, not to help the people of Ukraine, who obviously are the victims here. I think he leaves a Europe that is rudderless, that, you know, is losing its resolve to help the Ukrainians. And I think that he, you know, has a difficult set of counterparts here to negotiate with, given that Vladimir Putin hasn't felt much pressure from the Biden team. The sanctions regime that was put in place obviously did not tank the Russian economy. Russia just went off and found new markets for its goods and new partners in China and Iran, which are large economies. So I think the Trump team comes in and has to ask, what is the U.S. national interest first and foremost? And I think that is making sure that Russia does not, you know, conquer large portions of Ukraine and establish a presence on the NATO border. I think it's in our interest is in demonstrating that we support our allies, because if we don't support allies in one theater, our enemies will assume that we won't support them in other theaters like Asia Pacific. And I think our interest is, as President Trump has expressed, try to see if there's a deal to be made to stop the fighting. But to do that, I think the president will need to take a page from his first-term playbook and exert pressure on Vladimir Putin. And he exerted a lot of pressure on Putin in the first term. And I believe that he will do so again. And I would not be surprised, John, and this is a prognostication, but I would not be surprised if President Trump put a deal on the table, Putin walked away, and the president said, well, I tried to have a deal. Now we're just going to surge weapons into Ukraine. So good luck to you. That's how he operates, carrot and stick. And so the first outreach of the incoming administration by the special envoy, Keith Kellogg, has been rejected. I presume that the National Security Advisor, Mike Waltz, and the incoming Secretary of State, Rubio, will try again. But I would not underestimate President Trump's ability and will to make sure that Vladimir Putin is properly incented to come to a negotiating table.
To Hong Kong, your haunts, Mary, but now crushed by the People's Republic of China. Jimmy Lai, a hero, a multimillionaire, a man who's been tortured these last years and incarcerated for 4 years by the mainland for the crime of meeting with American dignitaries. I believe one of them was the Vice President of the United States. Jimmy Lai is a man who is not likely to see the outside of a prison, if I understand the way the Chinese are treating him. You tell me there's a new book that you recommend people read about him. What is it, Mary?
So an old friend of mine, Mark Clifford, who was a longtime journalist based in Hong Kong, ran several publications and then ran a CEO leadership group, was on the board of one of Jimmy Lai's companies and got to know him extremely well, personal friends. We were all personal friends. Mark left Hong Kong when the crackdown happened. He was able to do so and decided that he wanted to do something to help his friend. And so he wrote a book. His first book was First Hong Kong, Then the World, which explains why Americans should care about what happens in Hong Kong and what Beijing's repression portends for us. And the second book is the one you're referring to, John, and that's called The Troublemaker, which is the personal story of Jimmy Lai. Jimmy is an entrepreneur. He is a peaceful supporter of the Hong Kong people's aspirations for freedom. He's 77 years old. He's in solitary confinement in Stanley Prison for the crime of simply expressing his point of view in a peaceful way. He has suffered greatly. He's been separated from his family for many years. He is, I think, a true modern martyr. And he is doing this because he wants to send a warning to the West about the nature of the regime in China, which you and I have talked about for many years on this show, and that we need to recognize that what has happened to Hong Kong will happen to other nations if we don't not just contain the CCP, but empower the Chinese people to have the kinds of freedoms that Hong Kongers used to enjoy and that we enjoy today.
Mary Kissel.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.